Are. It's February 7th, the year of our Lord, 2004, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, or a little bit thereafter, here in the United States of America. As you can tell, I've not put the music on this evening because I have a special guest here who's going to be coming on the broadcast in just a moment and giving you a few little tidbits from his personal biblical perspective concerning the Kirk or the Church of Rome. Now, before we do that, I want to read a few verses of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the water in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now again in your Bible, if it is your Bible, the AV 1611 Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. And lastly, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke and is here recorded in the infallible, inspired word of God, the AV 1611 Bible. That's right, you Yahweh boys, you Yahshua boys. There's only one inspired Bible in the English language, and it's the AV 1611. And that's why you people, you Yahshua, you Yahweh boys, are on your way to hell, because you've not trusted the Lord's Christ. You preach another Jesus, another gospel, you have another spirit, and you worship a Christ that is not the Lord's Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, said, in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now this evening, we're going to take another stab under the fifth rib toward the heart of the Roman Catholic whore. We're going to seek by the quick and powerful, sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God and by a manifestation of the truth to every man's conscience to reprove and rebuke and expose error. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove has the connotation and definition of exposing or making manifest. And we're told in God's word that whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And therefore, through a manifestation of the truth, we will shine the light of God's word and cut with the sword of God's spirit, his infallible word, the Romish whore, and will aim again right towards her heart and disembowel her by an exposition of the truth from the Bible and from history. Any people that are taken in spiritual bondage to Rome inevitably must fall into mental, emotional, soulical, and lastly, physical bondage to Rome. The physical bondage to Rome, the Roman Catholic whore church, and her right arm, the Jesuit general and his hordes of filthy creatures that live lives of lasciviousness, lust, perversion, and die ignominious, pitiful deaths, and go to hell and roast forever. Yes, this Jesuit general, the arm of the Catholic Pope, has now brought the people of the United States into subjection, not just in a spiritual realm through the introduction of Arminianism and false Bible versions, not just in the realm of the spirit, but in the realm of the emotions, in the realm of the mind, in the realm of mental images implanted in people's minds, and lastly, but in the end, ultimately manifesting in the flesh, in a dictatorial, tyrannical control over every citizen of the 14th Amendment corporation called the United States, a tyrannical control over all individuals who've been numbered and marked like beasts with their social security number. There's been an absolute dictatorial physical control now exercised over all American inhabitants by the Jesuit general and his agent in this country, the Cardinal of New York City. Now, you say, well, that can't possibly be true. You don't have any proof of that. There's loads of proof of that. There's enough documents and enough proof of that to fill up the back of three or four semi-tractor trailers if we could get our hands on it. Unfortunately, we can't get our hands on all of it, but we've gotten our hands on enough of it over the years by their overt and covert actions and the manifestation of those actions to prove these accusations. Now, as I promised, I'm going to make good on my promise and turn the broadcast over to Brother Eric John Phelps, author of Vatican Assassins. This book is currently out of print, and at this point is going to be reprinted at some time down the road and will be made available to people here in the United States. It currently is sold out, and what is in there is something that you will not find anywhere else. And you people that listen to shortwave all the time, I want to give you a challenge before I put Brother Phelps on. I challenge you to call old Alex Jones, call up Tex Mars, call up Joyce Riley, call up Clay Douglas even now. Clay interviewed Brother Eric when his book first came out. But call up your favorite papal talk show host. Yes, they're all operatives of the papacy, and they're all pandering right now and groveling at Mel Gibson's feet and speaking of him as if he were some great hero. And to clarify for you listeners, Mel Gibson professes to be a traditional Catholic. A traditional Catholic is one who adheres to the Council of Trent doctrines and does not recognize the work of Vatican II, where the Vatican broadened themselves a little bit to gain a little sex appeal because that dirty old shankered whore was so far down and so filthy and so covered with putrefying sores and oozing wounds that nobody would take up with her. So she had to dress herself up and put a little makeup on, and that's what Vatican II was. But old Mel Gibson has spent many years building himself a platform by playing Braveheart, by playing the Patriot, by making movies about conspiracies and signs, and he's become the darling of the crypto-Catholic Protestant, quotes, right wing. They are neither Protestant, neither are they right wing, but they're all good operatives of the papacy. And you ought to pray for the broadcaster here, Brother Dave France. He's the only shortwave broadcaster that I know of in this nation that's not under their thumb. And it's only through the work of God in his life and his willingness to sacrifice of his time, his money, and his abilities that people like myself can get in the air. Now I'm going to turn the broadcast over to Brother Eric Phelps, and I do hope you enjoy this evening's broadcast.
Well, thank you for your invitation, Brother Nelson. I guess this is on correctly. Okay. Tonight I would like to talk with you about one of the Jesuits' great masterpieces, and that is the doctrine of communism. You say, wait a second, I thought the Jews started communism. No, communism is a creation of the Jesuit order. They designed it in the mid-1800s after they had perfected all the communist tenets, the 10 planks of the manifesto, on their reductions in Paraguay. Now, the Jesuits had went into South America and started their reductions in Paraguay in the early 1600s, and for approximately 150 years, they ran 31 great reductions, and on those reductions in total was over 200,000 Guarani Indians who were taught to make hides, tallow, they were taught to make violins, they picked herbs, they did a host of things for the order, and the order then took all this commerce, all these goods, and put it in international commerce and trade with their black ships. The Jesuits had the largest fleet of ships, second only to the Dutch, in the world. They were called the black ships. And if you've ever seen the movie Shogun, you see one of their elaborate black ships. They traded in silk, pearls. They were the ones responsible going to the New World and taking away all the gold from the American Native American Indians in California when they would raid their sacred burial grounds, take all the gold, put them on the ships, and they would go back to Spain. The Jesuits had the largest commerce, second only to the Dutch in the world, the Dutch Protestants. Now, while they were carrying on international commerce and trade in the 1600s and early 1700s, they also went into international banking. We have priests that and bishops that complained to the Pope that they would be begging their bread from the Jesuits if the Jesuits were allowed to continue in their granaries and in their huge ownerships of cattle and sheep. The cattle industry as we know it today in the United States came from a Jesuit, Jesuit Kino. So they were the masters of commerce everywhere, but they were the masters of communism, the masters of cartel monopolistic capitalism, and the masters of socialist communism that reduces every man, every worker, to a universal equality that does not occur in nature. So one of their purposes is to take this communism that they perfected and put it on the Reformed or the Reformation Western civilization, to the end that the middle class would be destroyed, that the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Celtic middle class would be destroyed and reduced to the same poverty that existed in Roman Catholic nations in Europe and now in Mexico, in Central America, and in South America. You must observe that every Catholic nation, every one of them, has a military dictator and has no middle class, has a paper currency. None of these Catholic nations own guns. They do not have the capacity to engage in free enterprise or true laissez-faire capitalism, where one merchant competes with another, and the merchant that makes the best item at the cheapest price gets the sale. That's where the customer is king, and that's the kind of economics that make a nation great and prosperous, and having the best items for sale. So now the Jesuits are masters at corporate monopolies. Some of the corporations they control are Walt Disney. That's right. O'Donovan, the president of Georgetown University, was on the 17-member Disney board back in 1998. And so is it any wonder why Disney's coming out with all these witchcraft and sorcery cartoons? It's because the Jesuits control Walt Disney, Disneyland, Disney World, and of course because the Jesuits control all high-level Freemasonry, Walt Disney, the pervert, was a high-level Shriner Freemason. So the Jesuits control all your powerful mega international corporations. Another one they control is IBM. The IBM punch cards that, if you ever read the book called IBM and the Holocaust, it shows you that Thomas J. Watson was the owner of IBM, the head of IBM, and Thomas J. Watson was a traditionalist, Tridentine, Protestant-hating, Bible-hating, Roman Catholic, Knight of Malta, that was involved in numbering all the Jews, taking a census of the Jews throughout Europe, so that then the Nazi SS, the Waffen-SS, controlled by the Jesuits through their stooge, Heinrich Himmler, the Bavarian Roman Catholic, could round up all the Jews of Europe and send them off to the concentration camps. That's right, the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust, really happened, just like the Lutheran Holocaust in East Germany and Prussia, just like the Orthodox Holocaust in Russia. The Jewish Holocaust happened during the Second 30 Years' War, the Pope's Second 30 Years' War, which started in 1914 and ended in 1945. Continual war. So the Jesuits, being the masters of communism, having perfected the 10 pillars of the Communist Manifesto on the reductions, they introduced it into Europe in 1848 with one of their Masonic Jewish Zionists, Karl Marx. Karl Marx was tutored by the Jesuits in the British Museum. He was their utter servant and slave. And you know, it's very interesting to notice that Karl Marx's father was a rabbi who had converted to the real Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament and was a preacher. So he had this son, this servant of the devil, who openly admitted that he served Satan, this high-level Shriner Freemason that introduces this poison called socialistic communism into Western civilization. Now, what has this done? What has communism, come from the Latin word communis, a good Jesuit indicator of its Vatican origin, what has that done to Western civilization? Well, Britain is socialist communist. It has one of the highest taxes in the world. Sweden is socialist communist with heavy taxation. Sweden was a Lutheran country. Britain was a Protestant country. Now it's going back to the Pope as being the head of the Anglican Church. Denmark was a Protestant country, Lutheran. They're taxed to death. Holland was a Protestant country. It was Reformed. I believe they pay something along the lines of 50 to 60% income tax in Holland with all their socialism. One-third, something like that, a tremendously high amount of the population is either sick or unemployed because they have no incentive to work anymore. The government takes everything they produce. I got a letter from a woman in Denmark. She said, we work like horses, and we can only produce two children. She said, but this government brings in all these Muslims. They have 4 and 5 and 6 children, and the government supports them all, just like they do here in America, like they do in Canada, like they do in Britain. All these Muslims, these people of color that are Muslims, coming into white Western civilization, controlled by the Jesuit order. For one of the things the Jesuits must do is they must destroy white nations. White nations have to cease to exist. That's why they are destroying Rhodesia. That's why Michael Mugabe, that pawn of the Jesuits, is killing 500 white people every month in Rhodesia, or pardon me, Zimbabwe. The same thing is happening in South Africa. We're seeing murders after murders and gang rapes after gang rapes, black savages gang raping the white women in South Africa. And yet I don't hear anything from Jesse Jackson or Louis Farrakhan about it. They're so righteous about all the injustices going on in the world. How about defending a few white folks getting mass murdered in South African Rhodesia? They'll never do it because they're Masonic pawns of the Jesuit general. So the Jesuits are busy destroying what was once a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant middle class. We have to destroy their race, and we have to destroy their economics. So to do this, we're going to implement communism. And we're going to implement communism in the Pope's Holy Roman 14th Amendment American Empire that was changed from a Calvinistic republic to a Jesuit empire in 1868 with the wicked, sinful, evil abomination of that radical red Republican Jacobin creation called the 14th Amendment. That's right, the 14th Amendment that the Southern states fought with all their hearts to keep from being shoved down our throats. Even Lincoln didn't want it. Lincoln, for all the terrible things that he did not want centralization of power in Washington. He wanted the Southern states to re-enter the Union on the same footing that they had left. That's right, Mr. DiLorenzo, in your book, The Real Lincoln, wrong conclusion. Lincoln was not a centralist. He wanted the Southern states to come back into the Union on the same footing that they had left, as sovereign states in a confederate or a federal republic, where the central government in Washington's powers are limited by a written constitution. That, my friends, is a Protestant form of government. A Protestant, Bible-based, Baptist form of government is that as a government that is limited in its powers, be it a constitutional monarchy, be it a constitutional republic, the powers of the government are limited. Now, in this country, we don't have any limited powers anymore in Washington. They can do anything they want to do, or so they think. They can tax you to give money for the investigation of the reproductive act of a fruit fly, if they want to. They can tax you to subsidize any people that they want to. The Congress of the United States is no longer Congress. It is a parliament. It is a sovereign group of men that get together and decide where they want to spend their money, and there's no limitations on them because they're a parliament now. They're in a 14th Amendment Holy Roman American Empire. You see, before the 14th Amendment, the Jesuits, they were limited in their powers. The federal government could only tax us on 17 or 18 things as enumerated in the Constitution. Apart from those 18 things, they couldn't tax us. There was no welfare. Tell me, since when is it the government's responsibility to take care of us? It's our responsibility to take care of us as God blesses us. We didn't create a government to take care of us. We created a government. We delegated certain of our sovereign powers as people of a specific state to do certain things for us. One of those powers was to coin money and to regulate the value thereof. That's right. To coin money and regulate the value thereof. Again, in the Constitution, it says in Article 1, Section 10, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. That's right. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. You know, I'm 50. Was 50 this year or last year. And I remember the days when my grandfather used to give me silver quarters and walking liberty halves that were silver. Remember those days, any of you older folks? There's some of you out there that remember gold coins before FDR took it away from you in 1933. Tell me, did FDR have the right to take your gold coins from you in 1933 when the Constitution said no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt? Tell me, did Lyndon Johnson have the right, that other Freemason educated by Jesuits at Georgetown University, did Lyndon Johnson, that pagan, fornicating, mass murdering, Vietnam flag waving, sending my friends off to Vietnam getting killed for nothing, did that wicked sinner have the right to take our silver away from us in 1965? When the Constitution says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt? No, these guys didn't have the right to do that. See, they're acting like kings, and they put forth these edicts. And they have HGR 192 that suspends payment in gold in 1933. And they have another edict or executive order that suspends the coining of silver coins. These guys do not have that power. These presidents overstep their bounds. And so what do we do? What can we do about this? I'll go back to that in a minute. Another thing that these Jesuit-controlled monarchical presidents did is they put upon us a heavy, progressive, graduated income tax. That's right. The wicked, sinful, heavy, progressive, graduated income tax. Now, a corporation, that's how they ought to be taxed. A corporation ought to pay a heavy, progressive, graduated income tax. The more money they make, the more tax they should pay. Because corporations are artificial people. They're pieces of paper. They have no morality. They have no desire to do right. All that matters to a corporation is to make profit. And of course, we see with certain corporations that declare bankruptcy, and they take all the shareholders' investments, and they take all the retirement money, like WorldCom, run by that Jesuit Lay. They can steal all your money, and nobody goes to jail. Yeah. No. The heavy progressive income tax needs to be put on AT&T, IT&T, WorldCom, Boeing, IBM, every major corporation you can think of needs to pay a heavy progressive graduated income tax, and the Internal Revenue is looking right down their throats. That's where the Internal Revenue Service needs to be. But we're individuals, folks. We're natural persons in the law. And there's an old court case called Hale versus Hinkle that says that a natural person is different than a corporation and they should be treated differently. And so how should we be treated? Well, we should never, never pay a heavy and progressive graduated income tax because it's destroying the middle class. In fact, the middle class is already destroyed. There is no middle class in America anymore. It is gone. All we have now are the super rich. 1% of the American population controls 99% of the wealth. That's exactly right. So all you people living in Eastern Europe and China, if you might be listening to this broadcast, we're just as communist as you are. Maybe even more so because you see America made your country communist. It financed the Bolshevik Revolution. It put Mao Zedong in power. There is no international communism except for the Knights of Malta working for the Archbishop of New York on Wall Street financing all this international communism, including the ramming down our throats of the heavy progressive graduated income tax. No, we should not pay it. What we should pay is the apportion tax. Every American should pay an apportion tax. The Constitution said taxation and representation shall be by apportionment. That's in Article 1. Well, what is apportionment, Brother Phelps? Apportionment is like this. Let's say the United States was composed of 100,000 people. And the budget for the United States was $100,000 because, you see, the Constitution of the United States tells the Congress what it can spend money on. And apart from those things, it can't spend money. So let's say the population is 100,000 people and the budget is $100,000 a year. How much would each person pay? $1. The rich shall not pay more and the poor shall not pay less. That's right. The rich shall not pay more and the poor shall not pay less. Every person pays $1. Because it's the population dependent upon the census divided into the budget. That's an apportion tax. And that's the tax we used to pay. That's the tax we used to pay in the states. And the wonderful thing about that tax is it's fun to pay because we pay that tax willingly. We want to pay that tax. And if a person doesn't pay the tax, if a citizen doesn't pay the tax, he doesn't get the vote. providing, of course, that voting really takes place. Of course, we don't have any elections anymore, you know. All the voting machines are rigged, and they determine who's going to be elected. But when we really had voting boxes and we dropped the name in, that's wonderful, because we get to keep control of our government through voting. That's what we need. And how do we finance our government? By the apportioned tax. Now, we don't want a flat tax. A flat tax that gives the government the right to dig into your private financial life. Do you know, beloved, that the government and nobody else has the right to know how much money you make, how much money you have, how much money you spend, and what you spend it on? That's nobody's business but yours. It's just as private as your relationship with your wife. It's nobody's business. It's nobody's business to know how many guns you have. It's nobody's business to know how many rounds you have. That's all private. Now, when you commit a crime, like if you're in the drug trade, like the CIA and the mafia, if you commit a crime, then you should be prosecuted and punished for it. You need to come under sanctions. Now, if you commit a crime with a weapon, with a firearm, you need to be prosecuted and punished for it. But we don't go after people with money. We don't go after the middle class. We don't go after people with guns. We don't go after people with Bibles. As long as people are not violating anybody's life, liberty, or property, the government is to leave them alone. The government's powers is limited. The purpose of government is to punish evil and reward good, not regulate every little thing we do. That's absolutism. That's absolutism. That's fascism. That's Jesuit fascism. And the Jesuits have said in their Civilta Cattolica that the favorite form of the Vatican, the favorite form of government for the Jesuit order in the Vatican, is fascism. Do you remember the JFK movie? And when Garrison's interviewing that homosexual, that sodomite there at the prison, and he says, fascism's coming back? It was, he said that 12 years ago. Exactly right. The Jesuits have brought back fascism. And you know who they brought it back with? George Bush. And the Patriot Act. Patriot Act 1 and Patriot Act 2. That's pure and simple suspension of the Bill of Rights and absolutism in Washington and fascism. Now, are you going to pay for this? You going to file your tax return this year and pay for all this fascism? Are you going to file your tax return this year and pay for our armies to get beaten over there in the Mideast, to be betrayed by our Joint Chiefs of Staff, just like Hitler's generals betrayed the German armies east and it was beaten? They cut off arms. They starved them. That's what they're going to do to our soldiers. Don't think our guys are coming out of there without having tremendous losses. That invasion is going into Saudi Arabia. I believe they're going to destroy Mecca and Medina. I believe they're going to deliberately fire the ire of all the Muslims up against us so that they're going to want to invade us and wipe us out. Millions and millions of Muslims coming into America using Cuba as a staging base. I've said it for the last 4 years, even before they brought Al-Qaeda to Cuba, with that Jesuit-trained, high-level 33rd-degree Freemason Fidel Castro running Cuba. You going to pay for this? You going to file your tax returns this year, folks? Are you going to file, are you going to sign that document under the penalties of perjury? That if any little thing is wrong, you can be brought up on charges for income tax evasion, which is a felony, and you can go to jail for the minimum of 1 year? Is that what you want to risk, signing a tax return? I'll tell you something else about a tax return. Filing a tax return is voluntary. Did you know that? I can show you IRS commissioner after IRS commissioner that has said, our system of taxation is one of voluntary compliance. It's voluntary compliance. Did you know you are assessing yourself voluntarily? Do you like that? Do you like to tell a bunch of strangers at the IRS what all your private financial actions are? Do you think the government has been given the right to know every penny that came into your hand and every penny you spent? It only has that right if you're a slave. That's right. Everybody that does this is a slave. Let's just call it the way it is. You're a slave if you file a tax return every April 15th. Yeah, April 15th, the day the Titanic went down. April 15th, the day Lincoln called out troops on South. Yeah, April 15th, on the day Lincoln was assassinated by the Jesuits. So Jesuits love April 15th. It's a celebration day. So all the lemmings can run and file their tax returns so they don't all go to jail. But I love it. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You're all afraid of Washington. You're afraid of the IRS. You're afraid of the BATF. You're afraid of the DEA. You're afraid of the CIA. You're afraid of the FBI. You're afraid. You don't deserve to be free. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso trusteth in the Lord, he shall be safe. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I tell you, if you live in fear of your government, they will make you fear. They will keep you a slave. They will draft your sons, and the draft is coming. They're going to draft your sons. Hey, ladies, remember when you gave birth to your son and your daughter 20 years ago? Remember what a happy bundle of joy that was? And you raised them and changed their dirty diapers, and you worked hard and you sacrificed to feed them so you could maybe put some braces on their teeth and get a little better. Hey, guess what? The government's going to take them and they're going to go draft them and they're going to send them off to Saudi Arabia or the Middle East to get slaughtered. That's right. That's what they're going to do to yours. That's what they did to my generation in Nam. They sent 58,000 of us to go to Nam to get killed for nothing. Take one hill and lose it the next. How do you think those soldiers felt? No wonder they were all on drugs. No one could win for them. And when General Bottomley, he attacked with his F-4, went into Hanoi, dropped all his bombs there where he should have, they took his wings and suspended him. They're going to do the same thing to your children when they go to the Middle East to die for the Pope and his popish crusade. And you're paying for it every time you file a tax return. So now, how do we beat this? Well, the first thing you do is you don't volunteer to file a tax return. Let them assess you. Because unfortunately, because of the wicked and sinful 16th Amendment and the Bar Association that's against us, just like the Medical Association that's against us, they're gonna do their best to round you up and take you to court. And remember, their prosecutions are always selective. In fact, they're doing that to me here in Pennsylvania. So what you do is when somebody is accused of willful failure to file or not filing a tax return, I want you to remember that self-assessment is voluntary. Filing a tax return is voluntary. So when they're tried before you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, when you get on a jury, you hang that jury. You find them not guilty. When you go back and you dispute in the back room there, should we find this man guilty or not? The issue is filing a tax return is voluntary. And you know why it's voluntary? I remember this federal case. I'll never forget it. This particular individual was before the judge. He was on trial for tax evasion. And they used his tax return as evidence against him. That's right. They used his tax return as evidence against him. And he said, Your Honor, how can you use a tax return against me in evidence? Because the Fifth Amendment says that I cannot be compelled to be a witness against myself. Now, Your Honor, I know that that it's the law that I have to file the tax return. And therefore, if I have to file a tax return, it cannot be used against me in this proceeding. And you know what the judge said to him? You know what that servant of the devil, that federal judge, said to him? He said, friend, you filed the tax return voluntarily. That's why we can use it against you. That's right. They use them against you because you filed them voluntarily. And that's how they get around the Fifth Amendment. Isn't that clever? That's called the Jesuitism. That's called Jesuit casuistry. Internal Revenue Code says, you shall file a tax return. Shall means may. Shall means may. So all these statutes that the Congress passes or that your state legislator statutes that seeks to enslave you, like the Patriot Act or whatever, you just disobey them. Tell me, what are you going to do when they mandate that you have to turn in all your guns? Because that's coming. The president's going to give an executive order. Well, because we've had a biological terror attack on the West Coast, and the West Coast is probably going to be hit here within this year or sometime. Because we've had this biological terror attack, we need to confiscate all the guns of the American citizens because it could lead to terrorism. And they're going to try to get you to give up your guns, just like they got my grandparents to sheepishly give up their gold coins in 1933. What are you going to do? You're going to give them up? Because with gun confiscation comes mass murder. The only time a government can get away with mass murder on a population if the people are unarmed. And you know, in Britain, they've disarmed the Brits, they've disarmed the Australians, they've disarmed the Canadians, they've disarmed the Mexicans. There is no country left in this world that is armed except the United Protestant States of America, or what was once Protestant and Baptist. All you black brothers that enjoy owning guns, you got that right from a bunch of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Baptists that shed their rivers of blood to have that right secured in the Second Amendment. And a white Anglo-Saxon Baptist wrote the Second Amendment, James Madison. You need to thank God for some white folks. So that's what's going to happen. They're going to try to take our guns. And when they do that, you do not obey the statute because it's against the Constitution. When they prosecute you in court, you hang the jury. You do not allow that judge to use you as a jury to rubber stamp his what he wants to do. The jury is the fourth branch of government. The jury has the right to sit in judgment of the law and the facts. The Jesuits hate this. That's why the Jesuits love Roman civil law. They hate the English common law. They love the Roman civil law. And all the proceedings in all your federal courts now and all your state courts are according to the Roman civil law. And the Roman civil law is the form that goes along with a military dictatorship. Summary proceedings, proceeding by information. The state of Pennsylvania hasn't had a grand jury indictment in 40 years. If you're ever charged by the government for a capital crime, you're supposed to be indicted by a grand jury. Everybody, every place I've seen, they all are proceeding by information. It's Jesuit law. You see, that 1 out of 10 lawyers in this country has been educated by the Jesuits. We have Jesuit legal professions here in this country. The Bar Association is your enemy. The Bar Association, of which every judge is a member, goes along with the United Nations and the Genocide Treaty. Why didn't we hear a word from the Bar Association when the Patriot Act was shoved down our throats after the World Trade fiasco when Cardinal Egan brought the World Trade Center down using his Knight of Malta and the head of the CIA, George J. Tenet? Where was the legal profession that said, no way, the Patriot Act's unconstitutional, it will not be enforced by this court, any court? They're all a bunch of conspirators, just like the medical profession. Yes, that's right. The medical profession is the Pope's medical inquisition in this country. That's why they vaccinate you. Yeah, that's right. That's why they vaccinate you and give you polio viruses and give you DPT shots that are illegal in some countries and give you MMRs and just a host of vaccinations so all your children can be sick with earaches and fungus and candida and have to go to the doctor for lots of antibiotics to get a further weakened immune system. So they're dumbed down, and made stupid. So they can't perceive and think for themselves, and they need a government to tell them what they can do for them. The whole medical profession is against us. They're the slaves of the Pope that make sure that when your babies are born, they get a socialist insecurity number, that forerunner of the mark of the beast. Do you like being numbered, dear friends? Do you like living by a number? Do you like having to do everything by a number? Do you realize that you cannot get married in the states of Maryland and Pennsylvania without a socialist insecurity number? Do you realize that? Without a slave surveillance number? Tell me, you know what they ought to do? They ought to just take all our names away and say, this is you, 603-937-2211. You know, we get appalled when we see these Jews with the tattoos that they got in Auschwitz, with their numbering that they got. That's what you've got. You're just a Jew in Auschwitz. Here in America, you're numbered, you're regulated, You're told what you can do. You're told when you can come in and when you can go out. You're told how much money you can take. There's a 50% tax bracket. Yeah, you can't excel and become a millionaire and make a better mousetrap and they beat a pathway to your door. You can't make another form of energy. You can't make internal combustion engines run on water, which I have friends that can do that. Because if you make an internal combustion engine run on water, all those boys and all the Jesuits and all their high-level Freemasons that run Exxon and the others, they're going to want to kill you. Because, you see, they don't want any cars running on water, and it can be done. All you got to do is split the hydrogen off from the oxygen and run your engine on hydrogen mixed with the oxygen and the ambient air, and you got a motor. It doesn't need gas. Can you imagine a country with no gas stations anymore? Well, I've hit the income tax, that pillar of the Communist Manifesto that's wrecked white Anglo-Saxon Protestant civilization. Now I'm going to hit the Federal Reserve Bank, and then I'll be done. The Federal Reserve Bank Act was passed 2 days before Baalmast. Some people call it Christmas. It's really Baalmast. It has nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. They shoved that Federal Reserve Act down our throat December 23rd, 1913. Then Joe Kennedy caused the Great Depression when he short-sold and became a multimillionaire. And all the banks, none of them could reopen unless they were insured FDIC with the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve is a private corporation, you know. It's controlled by the Knights of Malta. It's the Jesuits' bank. It's not the Jews' bank. It belongs to the Jesuit order and their front Masonic Jewish Zionists that work for the Jesuit order. The Jesuits put them out in front to make all you think that the Jews are running it, like Alan Greenspan. No, the Jesuits rule it, like William J. McDonough, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, that Irish Roman Catholic Jesuit-trained economist. Now there's a Jesuit who runs the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and where all the gold in Fort Knox has been taken to and stored in there. You should see in one of the Smithsonian articles the huge mountain of gold bars that's in the Federal Reserve Bank, all belonging to the Jesuits. A central bank is key to the Communist Manifesto. So here we have a central bank and heavy progressive income tax. We should have state banks. We should have local banks just competing with each other in business like every other business. We should have gold and silver coin so that the silver dollar you make today is the same, has the same worth to it 20, 30 years from now. And so you're not living in poverty like so many elderly are because they've been raped, pillaged, and plundered by the government. This is what the Jesuits have done to the United States. They've wrecked Western civilization, and they're moving in for the kill with the final persecution of the Jews in this country under their Patriot Act with all their concentration camps in order. The Jesuits are about to do it. What are you going to do? If anything is to change, it's going to begin with you individually. You can do something about it. If you trust the Lord, seek His face, He will direct your paths. So I entreat you all to serve the Lord, do what you can, praise His holy name, look forward to His second coming, and contend against evil while you're able. The Lord bless you.
Oh, thank you, Brother Eric. I'm going to read a scripture that came to my mind as Eric was speaking to essentially the state of subjugation of all the citizens of this country, the citizens of the sovereign states, to be more precise, to the Vatican and to the Jesuit general. Financial bondage genders bondage of every other sort, because when you're bound to work 8 or 9 hours a day, 5 or even 6 days a week just to make a living, you become worn out, you become tired, and as you get older from eating the rotten food that you eat out of the Jesuit food chain, and your body becomes filled up with infections, corruptions, pus, and oozing sores, and you become worn down, your mind no longer functions properly. Without a mind and a body functioning properly, you lose your power to resist. So the financial subjugation, the emotional, spiritual, and mental bondage placed upon every person in the United States of America through the agency of the Jesuits in all their various guises, whether it be as university professor, provost, director, movie star, motion picture star, if you want to call it that, Protestant pastor, it all leads to the same place.
a total and absolute abject subservience to not God, but man. Now, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible is very clear. And I'm only going to read part of the verse, but in this part of this verse 16, Romans 6, is a summation of everything that Eric just said. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. As we obey the government in their evil, wicked dictates, contrary to constitutional and common law, to provide for them whatever they demand, and then they take whatever we provide and turn that against us and use it to destroy those things that we cherish and love most, our own families, our culture, our heritage, and our religion, we find ourselves in servitude, in bondage, and in obedience to an authority other than the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ as laid out in the Scripture. This has been put over upon not just me, but you. I haven't been duped alone, but you've been duped as well. And all of us have fallen into this same bondage. And it is only through courage, a trust and reliance upon the Scripture and the Lord Jesus Christ alone, that anything good could possibly come out of the mess that we're now in. As Eric stated, the Jesuits are now preparing for a bloodbath in this nation. I've said this repeatedly and will say it again. There's going to be a mass killing of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of people in the United States of America. And you shortwave listeners should certainly know from all the shortwave listening you've done that there are concentration camps in America, that there are indeed evil seducers waxing worse and worse, themselves deceived and deceiving others. You should know that there are death camps already constructed in the United States. You should know that there are foreign troops here. What are they here for? Well, foreign troops are here because it's much easier for someone that doesn't speak your language and isn't of your ethnic and religious background to blow you away. See, it's much easier to shoot an enemy in the head that doesn't speak your language, doesn't look like you, and doesn't talk like you, and doesn't live like you. So they've got Czechs, Germans, Chinese on the borders, Russians within the borders, savages to the south and savages to the north of our borders, prepared to flood in at the appointed time. Now, I personally believe that this nation as a whole will not repent. I believe that professing Christians as a whole in this country are not going to repent. They're not going to turn to God and seek the Lord with a whole heart, and they're not going to cleave to the King James Bible. They prefer their little Girl Scout Bibles, their little Girl Scout cookie that the Pope offers. They prefer their little effeminate pastors that prance and fawn in front of orchestras. That's what they prefer. They prefer their fat boy pastors like John Hagee jumping up and down in a ball of sweat, preaching psychology out of one side of the mouth and the King James out of the other. They don't want to hear deep doctrinal truths from God's Word. They want preachers that are nothing more than cheerleaders who orchestrate pep rallies. They like to hear one-line slogans that after which they can shout amen, amen, and then go back to their life of sin. And to quote a man from the past, A.W. Tozier, he was an evangelical Christian in the early to mid part of the last century, but he said one thing which I think certainly pertains to most Christians in America today. Surely the only reason you pray is to continue your life of sin as long as possible. And that's the facts. And, I could refer to a Catholic who was a better Christian than most professing Christians here in America, Erasmus. He said in his Handbook of the Militant Christian, let our motives neither be fear of shame nor hopes of reward. In other words, we should do what's right because it is right and not worry about the results. That's the heart of a real Christian, one that trusts Jesus Christ and believes the Bible. Now, are we advocating a tax revolt? What we're advocating is obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll notice that when Brother Eric finished speaking on these matters and tying them all to the Jesuit order, he told you to seek God and seek his face and obey him. None of us can authoritatively speak to you personally for what the will of God is personally and precisely in your own life where you're at. But the Lord Jesus Christ can make manifest the thoughts and intents of your own heart and the thoughts and intents of his heart to you through his word. Now, the men of God in the Bible that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll turn there for a minute. I'm so sick of these Arminian water boys for the Roman Catholic Church hauling the Pope's holy water and sprinkling it and spraying it and spewing it all over these Christian fire hydrants, a bunch of papal dogs. They never let you know that these people in Hebrews 11, many of these men here listed, were fighters. Abraham was a fighter. When the kings came and hauled off Lot and Lot's wife and all that pertained to Lot, Abraham took the trained servants born in his household and went after these evildoers and fought them and beat them and took back everything. You see, Samson, for all of his peccadillos, his infirmities and weaknesses in the flesh, was a mighty man of God, and he put to flight the armies of the aliens. He had sin in the flesh, but he didn't sin in the spirit. He sinned in the flesh. There's a difference. And when you hear these preachers talking about nothing but fleshly, physical sins, and they don't point out sins of the spirit, it's because they themselves are spiritual sinners first and foremost. But we need to understand and know that we can't fear anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Jesuits are indeed running things in this country, which they are, and if indeed there is a papal bloodbath coming, which there is, then obviously the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, when we read that verse, we often think that, yea, the Lord made the wicked for the day of evil, the day of their death and the day of their punishment. But he's also made the wicked to enact and carry out his decrees of judgment in the day of evil for his wayward people. I suggest very strongly that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, that you don't rely on your flesh, and that you begin to sort out what you've been hearing in these past months. And I want to warn you, friend, and by the way, I never did give an identification except at the beginning. This is the AV 1611 hour. And if you'd like to write me, you can write me, or if you'd like to write Brother Eric Phelps, you can write him at the same address. You can write N.C. Turner, P.O. Box 184, Grantville, P.A., zip 17028. That's N.C. Turner, P.O. Box 184, Grantville, P.A., zip 17028. And if you direct your letter to Brother Eric Phelps, you can just put it in an envelope with that address on it. N.C. Turner, P.O. Box 184, Grantville, P.A., zip 17028, and I will see that he gets it. Now, the question is, Eric is one of the foremost living authorities amongst Bible-believing Christians that I know of in the United States of America. His book, even though it only had a run of 5,000 copies, has gained national and international prominence. He is by far the most knowledgeable expert upon the order of the Jesuits or the Society of Jesus outside of Jesuits themselves. Now, of course, because of their mental reservation clause, they will never tell the truth about themselves unless they get saved, renounce the Catholic Bible and the Catholic Pope, and put their faith and trust in an AD 1611. But if you listen to Eric this evening, there is nothing that he said concerning taxation, concerning George Bush, or any of these other infidels or pagans that would run contrary to what Alex Jones professes to believe, to what Joyce Riley professes to believe, contrary to what Clay Douglas professes to believe, or Tex Mars for that matter. So again, the question needs to be asked. Why is it that Eric John Phelps, the author of Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends, is such a pariah to all these conspiracy buffs and all of these patriots? Well, we're going to give you the answer. The answer is very plain, because they've got their nose and their face under the skirt of the Roman Catholic whore, and they love the smell thereof. That's right. They're not just kissing the Pope's ring. They're kissing something else. And they're going to keep right on. Look, you find my speech offensive, don't play that holy stuff with me, because you hear more filth in 5 minutes of TV or in 5 minutes of any other broadcast than you ever hear on here. I don't put filth over here. And when we had it on here the one time, we got it off for good. We don't talk that way on this broadcast. We are Christians. Now, why is it that Alex Jones, Tex Mars, the Genesis Radio Network, and all the rest of these people can't have the expert on the Jesuits from the Protestant Baptist fold come forth and speak? Why can't they ask him questions like they asked Sherman Skolnick questions the other night and his friend Lenny there? Why do they continually have Hutton Gibson on their broadcast? And Hutton Gibson, if you're listening tonight, my friend, you may be 85 years old, and I respect you for your age and your age alone. You are a traditionalist Catholic. You adhere to the Council of Trent doctrines, and your God, the Pope, the Holy Roman Catholic Father, has put an anathema upon myself and every single King James Bible-believing Christian that ever existed or ever will live. And your God is not my God. Your God is Mary, the Mother of God. Your God is a female. My God is the man, Christ Jesus, and he alone is the sole mediator between God and men. And I worship him in spirit and truth. So, where do we wind up here this evening? Exposing one more time the Roman Catholic whore and her pimp, the Jesuit general. He's pimping for the whore. The Jesuit general is nothing but a pimp for the whore of Revelation 17. Now, of course, Tex Mars, look, you don't have, as they say down south where you're from, the cojones, to invite Eric on your broadcast. And we know that none of you people do, because you've got a wrong spirit, you've got another gospel, you've got another Jesus, and you don't worship the Lord's Christ. And you're setting the stage and preparing the scene for a papal bloodbath to wipe out the Jews, kill Bible-believing Christians, so that the Pope can seize on the inheritance of Israel. But I want you people to remember something. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. God said very clearly in his word, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, till tomorrow night on 50-50, 9 p.m. Eastern time, may the Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you. And again, if you'd like to write, Pastor N.C. Turner, P.O. Box 184, Grantsville, PA, zip 17028.